Welcome to Words of Grace Audio, where we clarify, amplify, and apply issues raised in the Sunday sermons at Grace Community Church. From time to time, other topics are addressed. We hope these podcasts help you press the Word of God into your everyday life.
All right, it is January 6th, and we're here for Words of Grace Audio. I'm Jeff Burke, and we have Scott Patty, as usual, with us. And we also have Justin Tucker.
Hello.
Justin is our minister. I'm going to mess this up.
Director of Church Ministries.
Thank you.
I'm over adult stuff. Just say that. Yeah. I'm over adult stuff.
That's right.
All right. So we just finished a little two-week series that, Scott, you preached the first week on prayer, and then John Cramp, one of our elders, came and preached last Sunday on Scripture. And he dove in to Psalm 119, and he used that as kind of his jumping point for how to study Scripture. And it was really very practical. I mean, these points were... Go ahead. What were the points, Scott? You've got them written down right there.
I do, yeah. Point number one, John Cramp said, acquire a taste for God's Word. So repeated exposure to the Scripture in the form of reading and teaching and that sort of thing kind of gives you a taste for it, a better taste for it, a longing taste for it. Ask God to teach you His Word. These are just verses he pulled straight out of Psalm 119 that are requests to God to teach us His Word so that we can walk in it. And then commit to memorize more of the Bible. It's interesting. John said two things. He said, one, read more.
As in larger chunks.
As in larger chunks. But then to kind of slow down and really, you know, get as much out of it as you can, memorize more.
Right. I remember one thing he said was just, as you're reading the large macros, to circle one little spot that you kind of meditate on. So that was kind of more of a meditative thing, but you're talking about actual Scripture memory where he was talking about, you know, large passages over time.
And then his third main point was, or actually fourth main point was, connect God's Word to your struggles. I really like that about seeing the relevance of God's Word to your life. But he said something I thought was really important. He said, rather than start with your struggle and go hunting for a verse, he said, as you're reading the Bible and learning the truth of the Scripture, apply that to struggle areas. And, you know, somebody might say, well, what's the difference? Well, I can see one difference would be if you start with your struggle and go hunting for a verse, you can find your struggle in verses that don't really apply.
Yeah, the context kind of goes out the window there.
Yeah. So anyway, that was good. And then the last one was write out a prayer with God's Word. And he gave an example of writing ABCs of prayer.
So, yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Good. It was very, very, very helpful. He couldn't be here with us today to do this podcast, but we do have his outline. So.
Yeah. So tell me about ways of studying Scripture that have been helpful to you, Justin, in the past. Is there anything, like a particular thing that you did that you remember, man, that really helped me understand the Bible better?
Yeah, you know, I probably 7 or 8 years ago, a guy that discipled me really believed in journaling God's Word. And of course, being in seminary, it's been hard to keep up journaling, but it's been really good. It's kind of the same thought that John talked about when you go through and you read and you circle parts that are good. It's reading, you know, a section of Scripture and then allowing a part of that to be pulled out and then kind of journaling your thoughts based on that truth, whatever it is. And that's where it can get into unpacking, connecting it to your struggles. How do you then take that? And so you're able to then, what's this truth I've been reading and then applying it to what's going on in your life? So that journaling can kind of happen. And it's not like I wrote 10 pages, you know.
Sure.
Sometimes I write a third of a page, you know, just be really short, but it'd be something that, and then you know, that's really good. And, you know, a lot of times in Christmas, you'd go back and pull out that journal and just flip through it. Go, wow, I remember learning. And this is kind of a good, like John said, you can kind of go to the end of the year and look at what God has taught you through that year.
Yeah. Scott, anything?
Yeah. A lot of different ways I've studied the Scripture. In fact, I'll throw a plug in here. Rick Warren wrote a book years ago, and I think it's called 12 Bible Study Methods. So if you just Google Rick Warren, 12 Bible Study Methods, you'll find this book that he wrote. And it gives you 12 different ways to study the Bible to get the most out of it. It's very, very helpful. But so one of the things that has helped me is to take a large chunk, like a book of the Bible, and try to outline it. Like first identify the key message of the book. And a lot of times it'll be in the introduction. If you have a study Bible, read the introduction. It kind of helps you isolate the key theme. And then look for the ways that theme gets traced out through the book. And man, that is such a profitable Bible study method, is outline the book and looking for the ways each section relates to the key theme.
Good, yeah. Not just for preachers?
No, that's very good for anybody to do that. Well, so here's the deal. If you're going to, let's say you're going to start reading the Gospel of John.
Uh-huh.
You can start at verse 1 and start reading.
Sure.
Another way to do it is just take a half an hour. Get a study Bible, isolate the main themes, do a quick outline of the book, kind of like what John said, you know, on Sunday. Just do a scan reading of the book, get the general breakdowns and flow, then go back. It's take 30 minutes, an hour. Then go back and start with verse 1. And I think you'll gain a better understanding of what the true message of the Bible is. Of course, then what Justin said is always important. Everything you want to do, you want to be journaling in prayer, because the whole point is to get into your soul, to transform your life.
Yeah. I would just, for me, over the course of, I mean, there have been times where I've been able to do this, but you mentioned in your sermon, I can't remember if it was your sermon or not, but the book that we're about to put online, the little scripture memory book that Andy Davis did. But just using that at times in the past has really helped me to, I mean, once you've got something memorized and it just kind of is there, and it's, you're mulling over it when you don't even realize you're mulling over it sometimes. And it certainly comes back all the time as you're going through life. And then what I found, I mean, just in my creative process, just writing songs, I mean, it's just those are the ones that come out, you know, the easiest. And so it informs, you know, my being able to write things that are true and good and helpful. So that's what I would say.
One more quick thing I'll say about the in terms of Bible study is try to, when you read something that really stands out, like it's a key theme, then it's really helpful to look in the cross references and look at other passages that relate to it, because it will amplify it. It will clarify, or it will apply exactly what we try to do
in the introduction.
It'll help you do that. And there's for those that are really now ready to dive in, it's called The Treasury of Scripture Knowledge. It's a very large book, and it is all cross-referencing key passages for the entire Bible, and it has really helped me in sermon prep, but it will help in just Bible study.
Okay.
And I think, you know, one thing that John pointed out, you may be getting to this, Jeff, so I may be jumping the gun, but, you know, sometimes we come across passages that are difficult to understand, and you've kind of already hinted at it, but having a study Bible nearby is always something good to have. I think it can be a danger, because then you begin to rely solely on the notes, but I think having it nearby to where if you hit that troubled passage that you can, okay, what are some people thinking about this, and what is he really saying here? You know, when I was reading the other day, when Jesus was saying, eat my flesh, drink of my blood, and you're like, okay, what? And is he a cannibal? What is he talking about? And then trying to unpack, well, if you read the whole context, it makes sense where he's going. But, you know, having a study Bible, I've done that a lot nearby. They have a lot of, you know, apps now online that you can just have it right on your phone. But I think it's always helpful to have.
Yeah, the tools are amazing. Yeah. I mean, you know, people, I don't know if people wonder about my sermon prep or not, but I can tell you that I live with a study Bible right next to my desk, and I make reference to it all the time. You know, it's like, oh, you don't have some secret book out there? For... No, it's just what you can buy at the bookstore. I've got the same tools everybody's got.
Right.
So, yeah, and the point is there are a lot of tools at everyone's fingertips.
Yeah. Okay. All right, so I'm going to put on some different caps here.
Okay.
Conversations you may run into as you're trying to encourage people to study Scripture. How about, it bores me. It bores me. I start getting into it, I fall asleep. You know, what do you say to that person?
Pastor Scott, take it away.
Well, are you sleepy when you start?
Yeah.
So one thing you might want to do is get some sleep and read the Bible when you're fresher and awake. You know, if you've lived a little bit of life, then it makes the Bible less boring because you actually are hurting. You're actually in need.
Sure.
You bring a sense of need to it.
Yeah.
You might not be starting with the right convictions about the Bible, that it's actually God's word to us. You know, John mentioned one, ask God to give you an acquired taste.
Yep.
Repeated exposure.
Yep.
Lets us see things. Mm-hmm. Praying for the power of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. We are human, and therefore by nature, we don't connect to the things that are really important in life.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, we're always pursuing the trivial because we're humans and we're sinful.
Mm-hmm.
So we just say, Holy Spirit, you know, you have regenerated my heart. Now create a thirst in me for your word.
Mm-hmm.
So... You know, those are some of the things I would say. Maybe one more is use the Bible. So when you plan to share the Bible with someone else, then you kind of get a little bit more interested in finding out what the Bible says.
Yeah, yeah.
So use it in your conversations with people back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Hear the testimony of other people's time in God's Word and how it's been relevant to their lives. All those things sort of awaken our attention to Scripture.
Yeah,
I would say too, you know, especially, you know, when I first became a believer, I mean, I just picked up anything was so exciting to pick up. And then sometimes you're like, well, I've read this before. And sometimes I think it's just trying to figure a new way to read the Bible maybe. And so just being, so if you're I read through the Bible every year, maybe this year you don't. Maybe this year you just say, I'm going to memorize Colossians. And that's all I'm going to do all year long. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to camp out. You know, so doing different things like that can kind of breathe new life. It's not saying that the Bible needs new life. It's meaning that you just need you yourself may need to change, right? One of the things that John said early when I was sitting there going, now John's not saying that the Bible is not, when he was saying acquire a taste, he's not saying, well, it's like coffee. It's never good, but you got to make it good by getting into it. It's always good. We just kind of got to realign our hearts to the word, right?
Yes.
So I think it's the same thing. It's that when you go through a time where it's maybe boring, it's just... maybe change it up. So maybe if you've been like John, where you've read massive passages like 12 chapters or 6 chapters at a time, just say, I'm going to read 10 verses and really meditate on just 10 verses. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's just changing up. Maybe for me, I was kind of convicted because that's kind of usually the way I do it is I take really small sections because I'm a slow person. So I need that. But it was encouraging. Well, maybe I should try to just read 6 to 12 chapters at a time and get a really good overview and finding a little piece. So maybe it's just changing it up for you. You know, I think that can maybe kind of...
And he mentioned translations being one. Yeah. You know, if you're finding yourself getting bogged down in the language of one translation, switch over to another. Absolutely. Try something else. I'm going through what's called the Books of the Bible. I don't know if you guys have heard of this from Biblica, I guess, .org.
Yeah, really neat concept.
Yeah, it basically is reordering the books into a way that may have maybe more historically...
Chronologically,
yeah. Correct. And so it may give you, gave me a little bit of a different... way of looking at the New Testament, and so I'm trying to do
and
that.
And they're taking, if I'm right, they're taking away verse numbers, and they're taking
it's just paragraph form, and going through. But it's an actual, I can't remember which translation it is, but it's probably ESV.
Yeah, I think it's a combination of a couple, but that's great.
Anyway, but
to wrap up your question there, what if it's just I just can't get into it, it's boring. I think just in all honesty, I would say the as Justin alluded to there, the problem is never the Bible. It's always the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And Psalm 119 that John preached from actually addresses that with a prayer. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 18 of Psalm 119. So what you have is an honest prayer that says, I'm a human. I'm dull of hearing. My heart chases after stupid things. And I really need you, God, to reorient me. Help me. That's where I would start.
Yeah.
Okay, another hat. Whew, my life is unbelievably full. I can't figure out how to fit Bible study consistently into my life. What do you say?
Scott encouraged me with this because I've been in seminary for like ever. But I mean, you're reading all the time in seminary. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, okay, now I've got to pick up the Bible. And so I remember I was talking to you and I said, Scott, what do I do? I mean, I'm reading. It was one of our times we were hanging out. And I'm reading all these books. And I sometimes have to read the entire New Testament for one class. And what do I? And he said, just read Romans 8 until you graduate. Just don't get out of Romans 8. Just read Romans 8 until you graduate. That's right, because I needed encouragement. But I think that's true. I think sometimes if you're busy, don't feel guilty. I think sometimes we feel guilty. Well, I should be reading 12 chapters a day, sure. Right? And I think we always need a challenge. Sometimes there's conviction there that's real. But I think it's okay to say, it's okay maybe in this season, because I've got little kids that are running around crazy, I may not get to do it every morning at 7 a.m. Because mm-hmm. maybe my kid usually wakes up at 7:30, but this morning he decides to wake up at 6:30. You know, so mm-hmm. it's just, I think, have a plan. You need to have a mm-hmm. plan, but be okay to kind of adjust that plan. Mm-hmm. So I would just say, you know, read something. You know, again, I think I go back to what John was talking about memorizing scripture. And you know, my discipleship group has been memorizing 1 to 2 scriptures, you know, every 2 weeks. And that has been one of the most powerful things mm-hmm. for them. And I think, man, if you just picked 20 verses, I'm going to memorize 20 verses in 2015. And you're busy, you got a lot of, I mean, you, I think at the end of the year, like John would say, is I've had a deeper experience with the word.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I think it's just, even if you're busy, just finding what works for you and being okay mm-hmm. with that. Maybe it won't look like Scott Patty, or it won't look like Justin, or it won't look like John. It'll look like what fits your schedule. I think that mm-hmm. kind of relieves a little bit of the pressure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. So how about for the person who is brand new and they're overwhelmed by the thought of, this is an old, somewhat confusing text. How do I tackle this? Mm-hmm.
So you're saying someone who's never read the Bible before.
Either never read it or never studied it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Definitely, I would encourage the person who's never read the Bible before to read the introductions of a very good, understandable study Bible. Mm. That will get you way down the road. Mm. If you'll make sure, and the use of the introductions, Jeff, are only like a page or two.
Right.
And if a person will start there, it will really get them down the road mm-hmm. as they launch into reading a Bible, a book of the Bible. The second thing I would encourage them to do is start by reading a book of the Bible that is going to be more accessible to them, mm-hmm. one of the Gospels, mm-hmm. and get to know it pretty well.
Yeah, don't necessarily start in Genesis and go through.
You certainly can. There's nothing wrong with that.
You're probably going to get bogged down pretty soon.
You might, but you know, start with something that's very accessible.
Yeah.
I think the other thing I would say is for the person who's new to the Bible, let's help with a resource here. Do we know a resource that's understandable? That's the problem. There's a lot of good mm-hmm. resources, but sometimes they're written in ways that you can't understand. A person who doesn't have a background can't understand right. them. But something that gives a good overview of the Bible, of the whole Bible, not just an introduction to a book, but an overview of the whole Bible in 20 pages. In fact, if you go on the Gospel Coalition website, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There are some booklets that they have. Mm-hmm. And you can find a little booklet that's kind of like the message of the Bible.
Yeah.
And things like that are really helpful. We should put something online. Mm-hmm. Because you don't have to have a degree in theology to get the story of the Bible, creation,
mm-hmm. right.
fall or sin, mm-hmm. the way God then is preparing his people for redemption to come, the coming of redemption in Jesus, mm-hmm. and then the living out of the faith by the church as we await the return of Jesus. Mm-hmm. That's the story of the Bible. You need a little bit more than what I just said, mm-hmm. but I would strongly encourage that for people. Yeah.
Yep, that's good. All right. Well, thank you, guys. Mm-hmm.
Thanks.
We're going to start into a brand new study.
That's right.
On Sunday.
That's right.
So you want to announce that, or leave sure. it for a surprise?
No, we'll announce it. Okay. We're gonna begin a study of the book of 1 Corinthians.
Yeah.
Coming up this spring.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. I will say that some of these resources we're saying we're going to put online, we haven't gotten them there yet. But right. they will be there
today or tomorrow.
Yeah, in the next couple days.
Yeah. So.
Thanks, guys.
All right, thanks, Jeff.